Blog Talk Radio.
Found us again, Masonic Effects. Welcome. It is such a pleasure to have you here today. This is the 22nd of May in 2016. That means there's only 143 days left. Hard to believe. Even in a leap year, we seem to the perception of time just remains at such an even pace, doesn't it? You know, today we're celebrating the birth of the Scottish Rite, 1801, in Charleston. This is the birthday of Elias Ashmole. All of you will have heard, you know, everything from his works as a Mason to the claims that he was the very first, and everything in between. So it's remarkable that when we're pulling back history, it keeps getting revised as the historians become more and more accurate in their work. This is also Queen Victoria's birthday that we celebrate. It's a federal Canadian holiday to honor the birth of Queen Victoria on the 25th of May. And up until just recently, she was the longest reigning monarch of this country, till her granddaughter, Elizabeth, eclipsed that. It's celebrated on the last Monday before May 25th. And it's also simultaneously that on the current reigning Canadian sovereign's official birthday is recognized. So there you have it. Here we longly refer to the Victoria Day as May June 4, which may have something to do with a case of beer or the fact that Queen Victoria's birthday was is celebrated on the 24th of May. But she was born that day in 1819. So I put it to you, Masons, is it any coincidence that there's 24 beer in a square? Essential geometry for Masons. It's a beautiful day in this part of the world. Summer is just around the corner. We have 29 days left, 29 days and 10 hours till summer solstice. Remarkable. Time goes by. And I like to think that I mention this quite from routinely on Masonic Effects, because I've yet to find somebody that can, outside of what a handful of people in the world, that actually understand the nature of time. And I certainly don't pretend to be one of them. As she said, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Who better to capture that idea in words than Ms. Helen Keller? Inspiration. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. What do you do? We know what we are, but know not what we may be. And that's the point that I want to talk to you today about in commentary. But sit back. We're going to get into a really interesting show today. Some challenges, questions, and choices. This is I think, essential. Starting off today by some music by a bassist, Juilliard School of Music graduate, master's. His name is Ben Williams. This is called Smells Like Teen Spirit. Check it out. That's just too smooth to believe. Sit back, relax, get comfortable. The only person we can argue and debate, but we'll do it with some degree of respect, I hope. And we have some some questions that have popped up in the last couple of years, and I've been trying to keep them on the back burner. But, you know, it's like that elephant in the room. If you don't address it, it just starts to smell. Today I wrote, I titled my commentary, Freemasonry Answers Back. But I was in an odd frame of mind when I wrote this, as you'll see. Sometimes I walk around and I have the oddest observations. I live in a town where every bridge is marked, every tree planted with a plaque commemorating death. Shucks. I thought trees and parks were for the living. Cemeteries and minds and hearts were the dwelling place of our preoccupation with death and dying. Except for Buddha, who taught us to understand death as a natural part of living. Nothing to fear. It fascinates me that I prefer natural places, world without labels. When I watch, no one stops to read the bronzes. No one. Ever. I'm sure there must be someone who reads them. The grass will overgrow them soon. Journeying is an old man's way of saying adventure, as in life is an adventure. The pace of life really doesn't change. We do. Progress never changes, but our awareness of it does. Amazing. As time bends around us, we seem to morph into someone else. Either we are living in a dynamic universe or not. Through religion, we can all agree, science tells us the universe is in constant motion. Every molecule, every atom, every quark, every boson, protons filter through everything, all the time. There are irresistible forces defining the geometry of the great architect of the universe. I'm convinced of that, although there are others that would argue. Except in dark minds that embellish their imaginative world view. Except fool or genius, we are all striving for the same thing. Bliss. Free and accepted. What did you take was the meaning of the exception given to you? You accepted it gratefully. But you weren't even told that that's what you were doing. And there it begins. Why wouldn't we even tell you? You're being given a gift. It's yours to discover. And once given, you need never return it. Because it's the most precious gift we have to give to anybody. And we believe deeply that you deserve the opportunity to do with it as you choose, as you choose. Did you actually accept the challenge of knowledge or refute it? You weren't even told. But it's easier to point a finger at you as part of a problem or define you as part of a problem than to realize the problem has nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. What we permit, we promote. I want to put that in a ritual somewhere. I think it is. When I think back on ritual, that notion is there. What we permit, we promote. Does that explain now the state of Freemasonry? perhaps you like, sure, perhaps we're like-minded. Freemasonry contains a greatness. It contains answers to puzzles. And it's beautifully thoughtful. Its formula are strikingly artistic. The logic is flawless. And yet, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Do you mind? What is it that you expect from Freemasonry? Oh, I didn't hear anybody call me back and say, oh, I expected mediocrity. Or and I don't want to be part of an organization that's complaintive, you know, pointing out complaints all the time. That's tedious, and that would probably be send me away. I'm not going to, you know, busy myself in a night with that. But I sure was expecting more than I got. I was expecting the conversation. Somehow, I expected it to be thoughtful and planned out, not contrived and piecemeal. I expected leaders that weren't necessarily scholars, but that would be wonderful. To be honest with you, I did expect the leaders as scholars. In a way that they would have been promoted by merit. I didn't know, I've searched and I don't find popularity and the politicization of Freemasonry. I don't find that anywhere. I've looked and looked. I must be getting it wrong. Perhaps I'm unusual and wrong-minded to that. I had expectations that this bumper sticker, make a good man better, actually had some meaning. But I find that it's hard to notice what's being taken seriously. It's like there's a lot of bragging, I thought. You know, it's almost as if small men can hide their mediocrity in ritual and jewels and adornments and rank. And that it seems to be the answer for those fellows. But I never anticipated for a moment that that's what the order would include. I thought it would have filtered things out. That it would be a balance of ritual, a balance of opportunity. But, oh, what stopped me here was this sense of the re-education. Indoctrination, I guess? No, not quite. But this sense that the values that we espouse as Freemasons are at times quite obscure. Oh, sit down. Don't be so agitated. You'll spill your Kool-Aid all over yourself. What I meant was, what I mean, is that I was expecting that we would have goals related to our values, and that we would be expected to endorse those goals and challenge within the membership, be able to and encouraged to challenge one another when those values weren't protected or being exhibited by the behavior and manner of any one of us, including me, but that the challenge wouldn't be callous and mean-spirited or ill-tempered. Oh, you don't be so smug. You've seen these, you've seen grown men with bad attitudes and remarkably poor control of their tempers, acting as if they're in charge of something. They can't even control their own emotion. How can they be in charge of anything? The world's changed a bit here. The autocratic business leader who's able to accumulate huge profits really hasn't weathered time very well, has he or she? Now, science, new sciences, applied science, just like everything, take the theory and apply it through experiment, have proven some things to us. Memberships expect to be heard. Not told, heard. Effective organizations really don't get anywhere unless their membership understands why. But we're not very good at that. We're ready to plunge into how. Just do this. And our projects, always well-intended, always fall short. Even now, as our so many of our older brethren require support and assistance, our benevolence has become quite a bit short-sighted. That's not a finger pointer. That's on us. That's on each one of us. We haven't made it happen. Should our old boys have a place to congregate in their last days? Live together in comfort? In facilities sponsored by our order? Oh, do a throwback to 17th and 18th century life. Well, people like me would think, yeah, we should consider that. Because there's an awful lot of old boys running around this country right now. I'd like to think they can stay together and attend lodge meetings close to where they live. I'd like to think that, but sadly that's not the case, is it? And I'd like to think that they can have their wife with them. And that they'll be treated with respect, not rigidity. As if the whole world is an inadequate military camp. Good grief. What do we do with the choices that we face? Here's a little Thelonious Monk piano. This is from a recording he did on the 15th of December, 1969. It's called Round Midnight. Some of you will have heard this. It's my choice. Why jazz, eh? Why jazz? Why that expression of the individual? The spirit, always changing, always working together, the baseline, and then the ride of the horn, trumpet or clarinet even. It is the music that is an expression of the individual. And it always seems to occur to me that if Freemasonry accepted Freemasonry was to select a form of music to represent it, that jazz would be given serious consideration. But we're here to talk about more lofty things than that. A little bit loftier. The Greeks testify that from gold there fell a fertile rain, as the sun lay in the passion of love with Venus. And from Jupiter's brain, as Pallas arose, so gold must also appear like rain in your vessel. Pallas. You need to know about Pallas. Vulcan was trying to free Jupiter from his headaches, so he hit him in the head with an axe. Yeah. And that released Pallas Athena, the goddess of wisdom, from his skull. So Pallas Athena came from the skull of Jupiter. This birth, it is said, is celebrated annually in the island of Rhodes by the festival of the golden rain. Wisdom released from the mind, the head, the mind of Jupiter. So tell me about the choices that we make in Freemasonry are right in front of us, and we are equipped to make good choices. But one of the key Masonic skills, I believe, is the art of listening. To attempt to be the last one in the room to speak. And if you don't have your chance, not to clamor for it, elbow your way through, but to sit quietly and watch. And not just think about this during this program, but apply it when you're in lodge. If all of the chatter stopped, if all of the nonsense was left to echo in the lodge halls with no background chatter or no distraction, just to hang in the silence, how long do you think it would continue? Oh, I'm not saying that I understand what the outcome would be, but it would be interesting if we began to express our values. It's hard to support our brothers, it's as we're taught in the third degree, if we don't even know who he is. And have we reduced his talent and his personality to chattering along, trying to be compliant? Is that what we've done to him? Well, I hope we apologize. Do you ever notice how often we want everybody in the room to know our rank? I would have thought, people like me would have thought that would have been understated. Because we're a fraternal order. These are our brethren. But it's not descriptive. It's not helpful. It's repeated. It's bragging. And I have to just wonder, why? Why do we feel it's necessary to do that? To point out to him who sits there that he's not us? That we're, a cut above? I hope not. Or that out of my meager existence, this is it. And that if I don't get this much mileage out of it as I possibly can, then there's not much left for me. So I'm this rank, you're not. How's that? I like to think that, and I truly think, and I hope, that we can look at one another as if we exist in this wonderful laboratory. And we have challenges in front of us. We're alchemists in that way, individuals, with our own translations and interpretations of the ancient works. And we're still questing. I like that. We're still striving. We're audacious. We're not going to give up because it's difficult. But what we're doing is each approaching the question, the challenge, in our particular way. Completely valid. Some more quiet than others. Others needing to talk about different steps in their experiments. But all of us collectively aware. Aware of this magnificent process that draws us together. What has your... What has your life taught you about living? Best not to ask those difficult questions. At least that's the way that's what we seem to be promoting. Best we keep some men lingering too long that want to get home to their beds because of they're weary from the work that they do through the day. Best to allow the younger, more vigorous amongst us to continue the discussions well into the night and feel okay about that there's no disloyalty in either man's life or his tenacity or endurance. Perfectly reasonable. But what challenges? What choices? The choices we make today affect the order tomorrow. Well, it's never been a group of bad people or thoughtless people. It's been men shouldering a responsibility to carry on Freemasonry until we can place the future of Freemasonry in the hands of people that can help to broaden the experience. This is why we come back to this sense of the 21st century. We're just preparing. We're preparing for the future. And what will make a difference will be those men who are outstanding, the thinkers amongst us, not the competitors, and no, certainly not the business types. That's been something that we've recognized for a few hundred years, absolutely necessary, but that's not the group that makes changes in the paradigm. We need to look in the shadows for the artists, for the innovators, the people that are fearless. They're not afraid of ideas. And I believe that's the core of Freemasonry. For every one tongue that wags about not doing it, never done it that way, I think what we're just seeing is somebody that's repeating something that it didn't make sense in the first place, but it's being repeated. It's invalid. We've always changed. And we've always not done it the same way twice. But we've never been rash about it. We need to be able to approach things more thoughtfully today and more inclusively, which means listening to the membership, taking into account their confusion, their needs, their desires, and showing them how we can build an organization that's strong together. Well, we need to have that conversation. We need to start that conversation. And you know, I think it has. Well, the conversation's already begun. It's like the notions of education. When you think about it, education isn't finding answers to questions. Education, Masonic education, is about understanding. Oh, the schools largely work on testing whether we have answers, not whether we understand. That's more for the philosophical debate, isn't it? Well, I think that's the point of departure from education generally. Freemasonry is about that latter part, that understanding, that need to come to grips with the why. Not the self-absorbed why Freemasonry. Why Freemasonry? Because it is what it is. It's the answer. It's not the process. Education is the process. It's not an event. So, if I were in charge of the world for a day, I would change all wording relating to Masonic education as Masonic process. Henceforth, all education within the Masonic sphere would be known as the Masonic process. And I would title every workshop, Why? Or Why Not? Here. Lighten the mood up here, Graham, for goodness sakes. Vince Guaraldi, Trio. Cast your feet to the wind. Lovely, eh? Thank you. Thank you, Vince. Nice work. Nice work. Fantastic opportunities. Let's change the name of Freemasonry to the opportunity you just can't ignore. Let's change it to that. Wouldn't that just rock the world? My goodness, can you see what would happen? How smug we would seem. Instead, we do something even more remarkable. We spread our arms wide. We say to every man, come on, join us. We'll talk. We'll be friends. We'll get along. We'll follow these paths through life together. We'll stumble. When you stumble, we'll pick you up, dust you off. We'll encourage you. And then, best of all, we'll inspire the best in you. Well, I think Freemasonry needs to embrace the metaphors around us. If we're going to reinforce and cultivate that type of thinking, then we need to start to open our eyes just a little wider. We need to look at the constant reminder of brilliance, of inspiration. Oh, dear. That isn't in the banquet hall. That comes after. The best music, the best theater, the best sculpture, the best paintings, the best poetry, the best jazz, the best violinist, the best voice, the best. Oh, it's wonderful to be entertained. But when we're looking at the best, we're going a little bit beyond what's entertaining us. Is it that four-bar catch that is played over and over again as popular songs? Well, and just simply ask yourself, is that the best? Is that all there is? Huh, is that all there is? Is taste all there is to a good meal? Oh, well, the hamburger joints have figured that out for us, haven't they? High fat, high salt, tastes great. Not a diet that we can live on. In fact, it kills us. But we'll go down smiling, won't we? Because I like it, so it must be good. The kids like it, so it must be good. Because look at us. They're watching us. And we've been doing it so right that our children now are obese. Not likely to live as long as we are. But we're proud of it, eh? We're understanding. We're taking account of ourselves and what we've done to the next generations, haven't we? The misery around us of this social experiment that's led so many of us to a drug-addled existence. Oh, grow up. Ask yourself, what's wrong with the existence? What's wrong? What's so wrong with the natural state of being that so many men and women of all ages, of all faiths, are searching for some means of escape, including taking their own lives? Life is a matter of choices. So is death. And I'm not talking about our poor brethren that are suffering beyond understanding. And our political interference in that conversation between that man, that woman, and their creator. Our sense of smugness. It's over. As it should be. The enlightened and liberal mind does need to prevail. But let's talk. Let's talk. Do you know, I was talking to you, we were talking about Jean de Saulieu, that Huguenot, you know, the Protestants that were expunged from France with the Catholic king not so very long ago. He fled to Britain, where he became the second Grand Master. And we know that he had significance. We know that he had a bearing. And we know that he was a champion of Freemasonry at the time and a mover and shaker in terms of the organization of Masonry, for good or bad. He didn't have the advantages you and I have of hindsight. Stuckley, I want to talk about William Stuckley. He's taken a lot of stick, particularly from one of the Sankey lecturers, really did a hatchet job on the character because she found out he was misrepresenting himself as the son of a member of the royal family, his relative. But let's leave that one aside. Too salacious. And I'll be guilty of believing what I want to believe. I want to believe the man made a difference. He was 5 years old when Elias Ashmole died. Famous today for his pioneering work on Stonehenge, did you know? Druidism and the Stones of Ivory. Stuckley was secretary and fellow of the Society of Antiquarians, and as well as being a fellow of the Royal Society, as was de Solia. Like de Solia, Stuckley was well acquainted with Isaac Newton. They discussed science in Solomon's Temple. He was, like de Solia, also friendly with John, second Duke of Montague, elected Grand Master of the Free and Accepted Masons on the 24th of June, 1721. Montague and Stuckley were made fellows of the Royal Society on the same day. James Anderson shared Stuckley's view that the Celtic edifices are like Stonehenge, built by Druids, according to Stuckley, represented a branch of Freemasonry brought from the East. Well, thank you. That's from our buddy, Jimmy Anderson. In an account of his life published in 1753, Stuckley recorded that his curiosity led him to be initiated into the mysteries of Masonry, suspecting it to be the remains of the mysteries of the ancients. David Haycock, in writing his recent excellent study, William Stuckley, Science, Religion, and Archaeology in 18th Century England, discovered a most interesting manuscript in the archives at the Wellcome Institute. The manuscript reveals in his own hand that Stuckley believed, like Ashmole, in the pristine religion theory. Stuckley held to the principle that there was an uncorrupted revelation before Moses, in which Moses and then Christ tried to reinstitute. According to Haycock, the function of this perception was to clear away constantly the debris of ignorance brought about by mankind's perpetual tendency to corruption, by holding forth a vision of the original and true. Stuckley accepted the image of the old charges of the primal knowledge inscribed on two columns built to survive deluges of fire and flood, writing in his Polygraphia Sacra, I quote, "The origin of the mysteries, as we hinted before, is no other than the first corruption of true religion, when they first began to deviate from the patriarchal religion into idolatry and superstition. And this was nigh as early as the renovation of mankind after the Noachian deluge, the great flood." Yeah. The ancient patriarchal religion was linked to in Newton's and de Solia's mind with the science of number and proportion, with geometry and mathematics. And this explains Pythagoras, the relevance of Pythagoras in our Masonic environment. It does not take much imagination to see how such an almost evangelical conviction to the need for a kind of revolutionary divine science could tie in with the traditions of Freemasonry. Harmony is an idea central to Anderson's constitutions. In addition to its Renaissance meaning as a fundamental characteristic of divine creation, harmony was political meaning also. De Solla, Captain Chaplain of the Prince of Wales, addressed the Constitution's dedication not to the Tory Duke of Wharton, the Grand Master of 1722, but to his predecessor, the Whig Duke of Montague, and his care for the Freemasons' peace, harmony, and lasting friendship. Social harmony was what the Whigs were offered. It was Walpole, who was famous for letting sleeping dogs lie. De Solla would doubtless have seen his calling as perfectly consistent and complementary with that of the dedicated antiquarian. The task of the antiquarian was to bring back into the light that ignorance had shrouded in decay. This also was Stukeley's task and largely explains his and other enlightened men's enthusiasm for Freemasonry. Amen, brethren. The mysteries, therefore, had existed throughout the ancient world. And it was this secret religion, a fragment of the primeval patriarchal religion, which Stukeley believed the Druids had possessed, and which he had hoped to rediscover in the secrets of Freemasonry. It would be first inquired what was the intent, the inducement of their initiation into these mysteries. The answer would be they learnt thereby taciturnity, or the art of keeping a secret, a thing of great use in the political part of life. It means shh. They learned to cultivate inviolable friendships. They learnt morality, and at length, a sublimer notion of religion than the rest of the world enjoyed. The friendship hereby sealed among the initiated took a sacred and inviolable character. They were brothers forever after. Can you accept that as the mystery of mysteries? Think about what they're saying. These are the mysteries. Did you want something a little more scatological? That's you and I they're talking about there. It's one of my favorite songs from Porgy and Bess. This is done by the Modern Jazz Quartet. It's called Summertime. I know, I couldn't resist. Thank you. Taste of modern jazz quartet. I don't even know if they do. You know, they're so popular, always on stage. Just to hear a studio recording is a bit hard to find. Just remarkable. So you've heard the sort of revelation of the mystery of mysteries today. I hope that you remain the true Mason, always doubtful. René Descartes said this, eh? Of course, everybody's been reading René Descartes because I have. Meditations on the First Philosophy, in which the existence of God and the distinction between mind and body are demonstrated. Interesting guy. And he opens meditation, the first, of the things which might may be brought within the sphere of the doubtful. I hope everything that I bring, Masonic effects, is within the sphere of the doubtful. Challenge, examine, question, probe, think. I'm not here to make you think. I'm not here to make you brighter. Just to point out a few little things. Now, you're about to go out and finish here in this part of the world. Victoria's birthday tomorrow. I hope you do it in true Masonic fashion. Enjoy yourself. And commit those acts of Masonic, random Masonic kindness. You know you can. And I'll look forward to seeing you real soon as we get in... get closer to the summer solstice. Oh my. See you soon. Thanks for joining me again. Now a little tune from Buckwheat Zydeco. Hey, my petite fille. I'm going now. That's from the Montrose Jazz Festival in 1989. Holy mackerel. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.